time where teachers just get who they are. That's all the time, right? Yeah. Yeah. Well, I want to get us going this morning because we have like a 37-minute video. But for those of you that are just visiting with us or stepping into this, we've been talking about the idea of death for the last 4 weeks, and kind of a theology of death, and then like personal stories related to death. And today is going to be an interview that I did with a friend of mine. His name is Todd Mead. You probably hear me say his name every Sunday when we have prayer time. I met Todd back in 1989 while I was at Abilene Christian University. We met at Camp Blue Haven in Las Vegas, New Mexico. And when I met Todd, we were in like a counselor's meeting, and I had a feeling we were kind of eyeing each other up. You know, young guys with a lot of testosterone, they look around the room. I can take you. I can handle you. So we kind of had this moment where we were looking at each other, and afterwards, we just hit it off. There's people in your lives, right, that you feel like you've known them your whole life before you've even met them, right? And that's kind of how Todd and I hit it off. We just connected. We connected with sports. We connected with theology. We connected with competition. We played volleyball that week at camp. It was like pre-campers. We killed everybody. And that's just kind of how we approach life. But we also shared the desire to be in ministry together. Never happened. One thing was beautiful about our relationship, we would go 6-7 months without talking. And then he'd call, I'd call, and we'd just pick up right where we left off. And so Todd, 3 years ago, was diagnosed with glioblastoma. And 3 years ago, they gave him like 6 months to live. And 2 months after that, I was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. So I was talking to him on Monday. We Zoom every Monday for the last 3 years. And we've talked about life. We've talked about death. What happens when we come to that point where we're going to make a decision like, come get me, God, I'm done. So this interview that I did with Todd was 4 weeks ago. And you can tell a little bit that he struggles for words at times. I'll ask him a question. He kind of gets off on tangents just a little bit. You'll look at him and you go, this guy looks healthy. He's like 6'3", you know, and just fit. And so I want to share this with you this morning. It's the first time I have ever journeyed with someone this close, this consistently, as they go towards death. So I hope you find things that will speak to you in it. It's not depressing, but it's insightful. So here we go.
Okay.
So did anything come up?
Yeah, I just got it.
Okay, good. Yeah. Okay, Todd, I mentioned earlier, you know, each Sunday, you know, we have our prayer time where we pray for, you know, our community, our parish, our nation, our city. And your name is mentioned each week. And so maybe share what that means or how you feel about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, the time with you each week reminds me of things in my life, in this life, that matter a lot. So, again, Todd Mead, you and I have met each other years and years ago and have had a pretty unique friendship relationship. But you mentioned to me, right, and it matters, it matters, it matters to know that you and your group have time each week. I like what you guys do in your prayer life, mm-hmm. but the fact that you mentioned me in that, and I've had that kind of contact, honestly, all around some people I don't know, but I know you well, mm-hmm. and I think those prayers matter. I think they matter in ways I don't even understand, but they matter, and I don't know why I'm still alive. Maybe it's because you, your group of people have prayed for me, and God continues to kind of move. I don't know, but I love what you guys do in that area.
Yeah, and I've mentioned to you earlier about some people at church come up to me and ask, you know, how's your friend Todd doing? They don't know you, but they know me.
Yeah.
And we're connected, and so they do know you.
Yeah.
I find that interesting.
That's a beautiful thing. I love it. Love it.
Yeah. You know, you were diagnosed almost 3 years ago, right? It's pretty close, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been actually 3 years and 2 months since I was diagnosed.
Wow. Yeah. And then my diagnosis came maybe a couple months after that.
Yeah.
We were already journeying together, weren't we, on Mondays?
Yeah, not a journey we chose, but we're on it.
Yeah, right. And then at that time, the diagnosis was what? What?
Well, so, you know, the initial, it's funny, Bill, you and I have talked about things so much, I've told you probably 50 times, but, you know, I'm sitting right in the exact way, actually, it's on the other side of my room here. But got a call from my doctor, mm-hmm. who I'd gone and had this MRI. I mean, there's a lot of story to this, but and that this whole story doesn't really matter. But after this MRI, he called me. I was outside here doing some game stuff with my older children. We were having, it was right before Thanksgiving, or the week before, because that's when everybody could come. And I got this phone call, and was in this intensive game with my children on, and we were and when I got done, I looked at my phone, thought, I need to, and I just said, guys, I'm going to run in and talk to, get back to the doctor real quick. Or I just said, call somebody. I didn't really want them to know what I was doing. And I came in here, sat down, called my doctor, and actually, Natalie, my wife, came in about halfway through that, but he just said, Todd, you had a brain tumor. And it was interesting because he said, this is not good. I wish you were sitting here with me. But, you know, he said, we need to get you in immediately. And that was on a Friday when he called. And he said, he connected me with the best doctor I've ever had. And I've had a bunch of them. She's such a great doctor. I can't ever remember her name. But, you know, I can't remember a lot of things that are there. But I went in that Tuesday, and she took went in and sat down with her, and Natalie and I, and she's like, and this is, this is my challenge, the glioblastoma.
Right.
Which I thought, how do you know that? But, you know, she said, this is a glioblastoma cancer, and, we talked about some options. So, you know, that's when it started. I told you the day I found out about that was the doctor's phone call. That night, I sat in this office thinking about all of this, trying to process, because I didn't know it was glioblastoma at that point.
Right.
But, I just told God, I said, God, man, I don't understand what's going on, but, I just mentioned how you are good, but yet in this life we have these, good days, bad days, these challenges. And, I said, I'm going to need you to be with me.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what's helped a journey that I didn't choose. You get that, right? But we have to, what are we going to do with it?
Yeah.
So
Todd, up until this point in your life, was death ever a conversation growing up? Was it something that was it talked about? Was it not talked about? Was this your first real dealing with death?
Well, and so that's been an interesting part too. So, my father died when I was 3. So I grew up without a father. Nobody talked about that much. I remember asking, I'd ask mom a few questions. I'd ask his brothers, some uncles I loved. Nobody really talked about my father. But I think, there's many, many years I had to kind of navigate, deal with, and it affected my life in many ways. But I started doing some personal work to kind of navigate, grow, and work through that. But honestly, after I've been in ministry 5-6 years, the church I was at asked if I could help with the grief group we offered twice a month. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if people like to do that. But, so I said, yeah. So there were three of us, and we kind of rotated some, and I started leading that group. You know, I'd meet three or four people who were dealing with grief and loss of a loved one. And over the years, really, I have done more grief groups. I've worked with more people. That's always been something, an area of my life that's been a big deal to me. And I'm a guy that thinks, you know, as a pastor, a counselor, or whatever you are,
right,
you go help people. You better be dealing with your own stuff.
Right.
But anyway, I thought I was this guy who was very committed, comfortable in working with people who had lost a loved one. Mm-hmm. And love that role. Mm-hmm. This pops into my life. And all of a sudden, I thought, wow, I'm on the other side.
It's my turn.
And I didn't want that. I really wasn't expecting it. Mm-hmm. But because of all my work I've done in this personally and with others, I'm just a guy that's going to tell any group, individual, audience, you know, we're all going to die. Mm-hmm. We don't choose when we're born, and we don't choose when we leave this earth.
Right.
And so, again, you and I have talked, I don't want this. I didn't choose this, but I do get to choose what I'm going to do with it. And so God's presence, his comfort, his grace, his love, and the opportunities, you know, I've talked with a lot of people and still been on that other side sometimes, really encourage people who are, it's been, but that's life, right? I would tell any group, there's going to be some things in this life you didn't choose or planning on doing. What are you going to do with it?
Right.
I think that's part of God's work to prepare us and grow us and help us deal with life.
Right. So diagnosis a little over 3 years ago. And at that time they said 6 months.
Yeah.
We could do some brain surgery, maybe buy you some more time. So you had brain surgery and you went through a ton of chemo, some radiation. So it did beat you down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
For a while there. So since diagnosis, it's been 3 years. What have you learned maybe about yourself, some things about yourself? And then also, what have you learned about God?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and honestly, Bill, that's it's a pretty simple response to that. Because personally, in my own journey, and then working with other people, right, there's so many things in this life that just seem to be a huge deal, a big deal. And if we get there, if we do that, whatever, life's going to be perfect. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that happens. So I was a guy that believed, you know, there were going to be some challenges, and been really working on this. How do I live well in this life? So when I was diagnosed with this, and I'll tell you this today, and it's kind of evolved and grown some, mm-hmm. and this is for me, right? I can never talk to anyone and say, hey, this is how it is for me, and it ought to be that way for you. It doesn't work that way, right? But for me, it's put a lot of value in this life on my wife, my children, my grandchildren, my very dear friends like you, and then some other people that I still have some opportunities to encourage, to support, and to love. And so now, to me, that was already kind of there, but now it's just gone to the middle. Like, this is what matters for me in this life. And there's other, man, I love the home I live in. I love, you know, there's all these things in this life. I think, oh, that's a blessing. I love it. But I also would say, hey, as I get closer to the end of life, what really matters, are those things. And right, and the core for that, I started using, I say this to people when I'm out walking and I meet them for the first time. You know, I visit with them a minute when we're about done and say, hey, I want to tell you that you are loved and of great value. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, I had a lady one day, I was just dripping sweat, I had my vest on, and we talked for a while, and I told her that, and I really just wanted to, I didn't walk about 5 miles, I was hot, I just, that's summertime, I won't get to the house. And I said, hey, I was trying to walk away, honestly, I said, I just want to tell you, you are loved and of great value. I was kind of on the edge of the road, she was on the sidewalk, she started crying, I mean, not just boom, but, and she's like, oh, she's an older lady, she said, I've got to have a hug. And I thought, lady, I said, ma'am, I am dripping sweat. And she said, I don't care. So I step up there and give her a hug. But I just think that's such a big deal. But it has to be a big deal to me, right? I just want people to know you are loved by God and you are great value to Him. And I think the more we grow in that, it's going to affect how we live our lives, whether we're alive well or dying well.
Todd, would you go as far as saying that death gives purpose to life?
Man, I like that, Bill. I think that's a great perspective. Absolutely. I mean, you and I could kind of walk through that and talk and kind of, but for me, when you say that, I think, yeah, absolutely.
Because right now, I think in both of our lives, if we were to remove death out of the equation, would you think our conversations would be a little bit different?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I think they would. The significance about this friend, right? And I got so much stuff I could go into.
Right.
But really kind of evaluated I've always thought about friendships, right? But you and I, the unique thing about your friendship for me, you can go back and look over the years. We've talked about family stuff. We've talked about working out stuff. We've talked, it's pretty normal that on the back end of conversations, we get talking about some books we're reading, some Bible stuff. And so there was always this, and that's part of what I love with you, right? You look at all your friends that you and I had this, I felt this connection in all these key areas of my life. Mm-hmm. So we've always had some conversation about living well.
Right.
But no doubt, when all of a sudden you're told you have this, brain cancer that's going to take your life, and you're fighting your cancer stuff, we begin to realize, man, so it's helped us, focus more on, or the just more emphasis on I had years ago.
Right. And, we've talked about, staying active throughout this journey in terms of the physical side. And I know you walk every morning. Do you pay attention more now as you're walking? Do you pay attention to some little things or things that you would normally just walk right by?
Well, dude, I that's the time with you. I always like your perspective, where you're thinking about stuff. I'm jealous of that. But the walking has been such a key part of this.
I think somebody's talking.
The workout stuff was a big deal. And these days, it just doesn't work very well at all. But I still go walk. And I've done this.
Evan.
That first 12 months, 14 months after that surgery, and I don't remember most of that, honestly. My head, we were talking then, but my head just was, but now, man, when I take off, I'm talking to God. I'm thinking about life. But what I love, and I'm very sincere, none of that walking time has been about all these bad things in my life, all these things I screwed up, or things I didn't do well, or people that I disliked. That's not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
What I talk about is every day it starts with the, man, God, thank you for just life. And it just gets me thinking about all these ways He's blessed me. I think about, my family, my wife, my children, my friends. Lately it's gotten a little more, my brain works a little like it used to. But again, I think a lot of things where I'm talking with God, but it's not bad things, right?
Sure.
It's really, I talk to Him a lot about what I got to do to kind of end well. Mm. And I just did not think much about that. But it's not bad, you know. It's so, yeah, that's, walking's been such a big deal. I told my wife all that stuff, right? I'm now under house care with her. What's that called? Yes, yes. Man, they've been awesome. And I told her a week or so ago, I said, hey, this may sound crazy, but I said, you know, when I'm getting really close to the end of this, I said, here's what I'd love to happen. Mm. I would love my wife and my kids, you know, just right down here to the street is the lake. I said, man, I would love for them to get me down there walking or, you know, whatever. Get me to the edge of the lake and throw me in. No, that's not it. Throw me in. But just to sit there for a few minutes, mm-hmm. the lake and see it beautiful. Come back home, get me back in bed, let me rest a little bit, and then at the end of the day, sit with me while I take my last breaths. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I told my nurse that. And it was fascinating because she said, you know what? We'll be able to get you down there. And I thought, okay. I don't know how, but, you know. So anyway, let's see. I can kind of get off of where we were.
No, that's good. That's good stuff, Todd. I, you know, we've talked about this quite a bit in our own lives. The blessing, and it sounds weird, the blessing of a terminal illness where you have an extended period ahead of you.
Yeah.
Allows us to have a long goodbye.
Oh, yeah. Again, that's a great term. A long goodbye. What a right. gift.
Yeah, just to hug your wife a little harder and, you know, love on your kids, your grandkids more. And I think that is a message for people that don't have terminal illnesses. Yeah. They're living a long goodbye as well.
Yeah.
I find that powerful.
Yeah.
Another little segue here that comes with terminal illness is periods of suffering.
Yeah.
What have you learned about, you know, suffering and maybe God's grace?
Yeah.
On your journey.
Yeah. That's another great question.
And I know right now your legs are hurting, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. But see, that's what's interesting. And, you know, I feel like, honestly, you and I have talked about this, you have to be careful. You have to be careful judging others, judging yourself, right? And not always in bad ways. In this journey, I thought, man, I feel like you've had to deal with more physical bad stuff than I have. But it's also part of this journey, you kind of realize, man, in this life, there's going to be suffering, mm-hmm. right? Jesus spoke so openly and clearly to that, right? And that's part of the Gospels. Those guys that are with him a bunch, they really don't understand mm-hmm. many of the things he's telling them, mm-hmm. right? I'm trying to describe his role, God the Father, you know, how this is all going to, that he's going to be crucified.
Right.
They don't get that. But Jesus talks about, man, in this life, mm-hmm. there's going to be suffering. There's going to be pain. And he modeled that beautifully. Mm-hmm. Now, again, I don't want that. I wish I got to choose. But there's things we don't choose. Mm-hmm. And so that honestly has helped me. And, you know, there's days, and I always tell people, never been suicidal for a half a second. But there's been some days in this journey, and it's probably a little more significant now, when my head is screaming. You know, but I thought, God, I'm ready to go. Mm-hmm. This is silly. What are we doing? And then, you know, that's usually in the mornings when it's the worst, or night, morning, but then later in the day, start feeling a little better. I'm like, okay, God.
I was just kidding.
Yeah, just kidding. I'm not doing it yet. But again, there's just been, you know, there's so many challenges in this life. And certainly what you and I are navigating.
Right.
You have to deal with things you've never dealt with.
Right.
There's no challenges. And again, I don't like it, but I take some comfort. I don't think God's picking on me. I don't think God's saying, okay, Todd, you screwed up, so I'm going to make you suffer. I don't think it works that way.
Yeah.
But I don't like the suffering part.
Right. You know, those a lot of the contemplative writers reference the dark night of the soul, you know, emotional suffering, physical suffering. In those moments, I mean, where you're at, almost at your wit's end, like, God, I'm done with this. What are your feelings at that point in terms of relationship with God? I have some of my own experiences, but I kind of want to hear, because everything in that moment where you don't have an answer, you don't have a way to get comfortable anymore, and you are just, that's it. You know, where is God in that for you?
Yeah. Well, and see, this is something I've even said to you before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever want to come across, you know, there's no arrogance. I don't ever want to come across as, yeah, I got this relationship with God. It's all good. And so two things that kind of click in my head, right? I look back on many of my favorite authors,
mm-hmm.
and even the Apostle Paul, right? He modeled this beautifully,
right.
too. A lot of them. It seems like, which doesn't make total sense, but it seems like when you really are in this relationship with God and trying to walk with Him every day, you're going to be a little more aware of your own personal struggles and others, right? Some of them, you know, I love reading. This was years ago in the 90s, I started reading Henry Nouwen.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved his books. I still have a bunch of them. And, but he was suffering in many ways in his life from not just some of the physical, but just some of the, you know, his personal stuff. Many of my favorite authors, they were suffering. Right? I mean, and when I say suffering, literally in many different ways, that seems to be the deeper walk you have with God, the more you try to, sometimes I think, God, are you challenging me? Are you trying to really see how much I believe? And I don't think that's what he's doing. That crosses my mind. But I do think in this life, if we're going to be truly aware of the world around us and what we're dealing with, there's just some rough stuff, right? I mean, this world is full, right? Even here in America, it seems pretty great. You go to some of these other countries,
right? We have no idea.
Suffering. And, but again, I don't think in any way that means God's not present in my life or the world.
Yeah.
So the awareness of it, I think, has been helpful for me, but it's not always fun or enjoyable.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I feel like in those times that I've experienced those really dark places where, you know, you're suffering and you know, I have never felt that God took that from me.
Yeah.
When I asked. But I felt his presence.
Yeah.
And I look back, you know, in retrospect in those times, he sustained me. In those moments, it reminds me of a something. One of my favorite sayings from James Finley is that, you know, God protects us from nothing, but sustains us in everything.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
does that ring true?
Oh yeah. See, that's a perfect example. I like right. But to me, when I see that, when you and I talk about that stuff, all that does is just says, that's just reality of this life. That's being honest and open. Right? The Apostle Paul said he would rather be dead and go home this whole time. Right? I mean, he literally says, if it's my choice, I'm done.
Yeah.
But God's still using me to do some things. And so,
sure.
Yeah.
Do you, you know, growing up as a kid, and even in just my own church, death seemed so final. Death seemed something to be feared.
Yeah.
And for me, death was, obviously something you don't want to do, right? But but there was a fear attached to it. But now for you, what does death look like for you? How do you feel about it?
Yeah. Well, see, you continue. That's part of why I love my time with you, right? That was my experience growing up in the Church of Christ, and really the beginnings in some pretty small churches. But man, there was definitely, I think it was modeled, taught. You had preachers that just, but it was really based in fear, right? This fear of God. And if you don't do right, you're in trouble. You're going to hell. Now, there was also that idea that as long as right before you die, you
can right.
Yes, and but that's just, I remember struggling that was when I was much, much younger. I thought, wait a minute. God's just here to make me nervous and fearful, and if I'm being completely honest, I've been reading a lot of the Bible. I'm trying to get far, far ahead so that if I do die, I'm into the kings, King Saul and David's about to step in, so. But, man, it's just full of the ideas. Man, all these people are living, right? And fear's got some different kinds. But this fear of God, and you've got to do right or you're, going to hell. Mm-hmm. At some point, I begin to say, wait a minute. Man, God wants relationship with me now, not down the road. And his relationship with me now, it affects my life. He wants to be in the middle of this, in good and bad.
Right.
So, and see, dude, this is where I get into this kind of stuff. I hope I'm going kind of the direction you wanted. But, man, I just don't. I mean, it's a process you got to learn and grow in. But God didn't. I just don't think he wants me to be this fearful guy. Mm-hmm. And to trust him, to love him, to be present with him. And dude, that helps a lot when you feel so bad and your head's about to explode. Even in those moments, see, that's a good example right there. I'll stop on that. But right when I'm really in a bad way, last time all my kids were here, they were all about to leave and I couldn't really get out of bed. My head, I've been going on for hours. My head was just, and I don't ever say, at this point, like, God, where are you? I want to tell you, but I feel more of his presence because I can't do anything about that, right? I'm just trying to, breathe and not be in so much pain. But again, I just want to, let me come home and be with you. I don't like this. So I hope that kind of.
Yeah, and there's a process which I've seen, I think maybe in our conversations, things we've shared, almost a stripping away of not who you are, but things that are just not really important. All taken away. And I think in the depths of suffering, nothing else matters but that suffering at that point. And I feel like there is a communion, like you said, with God, and that's what God wants, right? And I think about, death isn't really that bad. It's bad for those that are left behind. It's that broken union that you've shared with people you've loved for 50, 60 years or more. But for those that are dying, holy cow, I think that's a great, it's a great transition.
Well, and dude, yes, I agree with all of that. And again, that emphasizes, I probably mentioned it, and I tell you this all the time, right? In my life, I've got some amazing people in my life and some good friends. But I cannot talk with them about cancer, this brain tumor, and death the way you and I do.
Right.
There's just some things, and I think that's true. I'm so grateful for people that are comfortable, want to talk about that. that I love it. I mean, I'm open to it, whatever. But I also believe I've worked with people on the other side of this for years. Uh-huh. And I'm scared and I'm there, but now I know, I'm like, oh shoot, I couldn't understand all of this till I, right? And again, I'm not thankful for that, mm-hmm. but it just reminds me, man, and there's some things in this life, not just cancer, but until you're in the middle of it, but you know, right now you guys, what are we going to do with it? But that's where you really experience something. So, men like you, who are on the same journey, you know, that I love and care a lot about, we can talk about some of these things.
Right.
The way I cannot talk with other people who know God, who love God, who are children of God, you know, it's just not the same.
Right. You know, and it's interesting that most of these conversations that unfold, like the ones we have each week, are forced upon us.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'd like to start living in a world where these conversations take place when they're not forced.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, have these conversations with my children and with, you know, with the people that I come in contact with. So one last question, Todd. I appreciate your time and all this. This is always fun. I'd you know, for East County out there that's watching this right now, Todd and I meet every Monday at 8 a.m. my time on Zoom. We talk for about an hour, drink coffee. We complain about the world. We love on each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's special, you know, it is, I protect this time, and it's just wonderful. Okay, yeah. One last thing, Todd. As you get closer to your own death, are there times where you feel or have experienced the world in a different way, where that veil gets a little thin, and you can almost, you know, kind of poke your finger through to the other side, you know, kind of that Corinthians, you know, I see in the mirror.
Yeah. Well, and again, that's a fascinating thought. I think the answer is yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That'd be another kind of example of what I think until I get there,
right.
I'm not fully understand it, but it is definitely, I just see the world different. I see people different. I'm sincere. I used to have some anger in my life that I, and now I'm not a guy, I'm going to go try to beat somebody up, you know, or get a fight with people. But I've just noticed there are things today that I might think, well, but it doesn't bother me. I don't find myself getting everything in the day. I just think, man, I'm so grateful for God's presence. Mm-hmm. And it's helped just focus. Here's some things that matter today. And there's just other things. You know, I used to drive somewhere and get in a bunch of traffic, and I'd be like, oh, you know, I just get... I don't drive now, but, you know, this last couple of years, I'm getting a bunch of traffic. It's like, oh, it's okay. I mean, you know, it just never got me, yeah. And so, I don't know if that's the exact response, but, yeah, I just might, the things I think about with God, the things, you know, just that desire for, and it doesn't happen all day, but right, there's these moments where, man, I just see I'm with him, he's here,
right?
And that's just made such a difference in this journey. Mm-hmm. So I hope that kind of speaks to
what's good. That's good. That's perfect. One last shot for you. Anything you want to say to East County or before we end our time together?
Well, again, I would say to East County, right here, I was in ministry full, you know, for almost a year, or for almost 30 years. You know, each church can be a little different. Some, the one I was just at, I love the time there. I was working on that, so much I can't remember. It was beautiful ministry that they had. I started there, and it was one of the best things I've been a part of. My grace for God's churches has really, it's like, man, they all struggle with stuff. But where I'm going with that, you guys have been amazing, you know, because you've talked about and shared a lot about that. I know that's been such a key part of your life. But, man, I'm just grateful. I guess it's, you know, please, thank you. Your love and your support, your prayers, they matter. And that gets me a little, I'm just grateful for you. I'm grateful for the church. I'm grateful for a body of men and women. I feel like you guys are focusing on things that really matter to God. And I'm so grateful for that. I want God's blessing, his presence, to just continue to give you guys opportunities to be the men and women of God, make a difference in our world. You're doing that, so thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd. Yeah, I love you, man.
Yeah, me too.
And I'll see you next week.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Yeah, love.
I met with Todd this past Monday, and he's nonverbal. And hospice said, just ask him yes and no questions. So I said, Todd, just be. Just yes and no. He wouldn't do it. I've never been with someone that had a stronger desire to communicate and to connect and to commune, but he couldn't. And it was beautiful, it was sad, it was tragic, it was everything. And then this past Tuesday, he had a stroke, and they say like 6 days. But man, did he look healthy? For two guys that are terminal, I think we look great. And he's just an amazing guy. I think God down the road had this planned. He brought us together for this journey. His wife sent me these shirts she made. And this is a Memento Mori. Remember your death. And then on the back, you are of value and you're loved. And he has a blog, which is called Todd is Living to Die, .org. I'm just right now praying, God, come get him. What are some of your, we have about 15 minutes here, 14 minutes, 12 minutes, whatever. Some thoughts that kind of came around as we were watching the video together, just some things that struck you.
I was really hit by the long goodbye because just this past week, one of my best friends from high school died unexpectedly. Somebody that Brian and I, anybody that was at Columbia that year and graduated, she's a wonderful woman, oncology nurse, and I just think she didn't get a chance. You know, she went to work or did whatever she did that day, and she didn't get a chance. And I had always thought, you know, when it's my time to go, I just want to go. But I think there is blessing in what the two of you described.
Yeah, that I think sudden death is absolutely the worst because it's over. And just having the opportunity to, you know, interact, and then Nolan wants to die in his sleep, I'm sure. To even go back and mend fences.
My mom died in a car accident, so there was no time to say goodbye. But what I loved about my mom was that we talked a lot about this beforehand. So I think if you live your life as if you're living that good long goodbye, which is what you said, then it doesn't feel that sudden death is shocking, but it doesn't leave you in that, I didn't get to say goodbye, I didn't get to tell her how I felt, I didn't, you know, all of that.
It's interesting that the thing that stuck with me, I leaned over to Michael, I'm like, that's ironic. I just literally used those words in a meeting on Friday. You are loved and you have great value. That I think as Christians, what I see so often in the world is what's important to tell people. You're a sinner. I mean, it's all over the billboards. I don't know if you guys have gone on like Stark or Division lately, but I mean, there's these big billboards that are like, you're a sinner, you need to get right, no God, you know, and I'm like, that is not a billboard that makes me want to seek this love. Like, where's the love in that, right? And here is a conversation of two people who it's like the end of their life, what's important for people to know as you've walked your life with God? And it's not about condemning, it's not about five steps to salvation. It's just about you're loved and you have value. And I don't know, I'm just like that, in my line of work, oftentimes people will ask me, you sound different. And I always say, I just want people to be loved, seen, and valued because they are. And I said, I'm loved greatly, so I'm commanded to love greatly. And I love that when you boil everything down, it was like, what do you want people to know? That's what your friend wants people to know. And I'm like, that is Christ. That is Christ.
Yeah, not once in our conversations did he ever say, man, I hope I got this right. You know, I hope I've got all the boxes checked.
I just want to say thank you, Bill, for sharing Todd with us. I mean, the conversation between you two, and I wish he was where we could thank him too.
You know, I will say this, there is a spiritual synergy that takes place when we're together, a connection, something that I haven't felt with a whole lot of people. And I guess it's because it's in a context of complete vulnerability. Nothing else matters. Everything's stripped away. I'm not saying I wish you could do this too. But man, if God places someone in your life, embrace that. Go on that journey with them. Because I just think the things that are learned, that are given and then also received, you just can't get that in a book. Class.
Hey, someone on Zoom wants to know if Todd got to go down to the lake.
Yes, in fact, this is Monday. That's his wife, Natalie, on the left. That's Mason, of course, Todd, and then Madison and Michael. And they got him down to the lake, and you can tell everybody's kind of hanging on to him. And he told me... I did it. I got to the lake. And that, I talked to him that morning, and then the next day he's had a stroke. So, yeah, that's the Mead family. In fact, Michael, when I met Todd in 1989, Michael was just a little guy. He was running around with my son Kyle at camp. And so, yeah. I will say this. I really wanted him to go into the veil, the thin veil thing. He told me this. He walks down every day down to the, there's a bench. He sits on the bench. And he said, Bill, one day I was sitting out there and this river otter popped his head up and looked at me, swam toward me. And I'm like, come here, little guy. You know, and it stopped at the bank, We had a moment, and then it swam away. And he sat there and said, oh, I'd love to see that again. Pop back up, swam to the shore, kind of gave him this, you know. He was really funny, but I thought, wow, God is in everything, man. I just feel that so much. And he said everything was vivid that day. The sky was bluer. The trees were greener. So I think the veil was very thin for him. There was an overlap of the old age ending and the new age beginning. I really felt that. All right, I want to close with a blessing that I read to Todd on Monday. It's from Anamkara, and I want you to receive this blessing as well. May you recognize in your life the presence, power, and light of your soul. May you realize that you are never alone, that your soul and its brightness and belonging connects you intimately with the rhythm of the universe. May you have respect for your own individuality and difference. May you realize the shape of your soul is unique, that you have a special destiny here, that behind the facade of your life, there is something beautiful, good, and eternal happening. May you learn to see yourself with the same delight, pride, and expectation with which God sees you in every moment. Receive this blessing. Thank you.